Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire. We quote John 8, verse 32 a lot on this program, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is talking about being made free from sin, if you examine the context of John 8. The implication is that false religious teaching will not set us free from sin. So this idea that it doesn't matter where you go to church, it doesn't matter what you believe and teach, that all the different churches can teach different things and everybody is going to be right, 2 plus 2 is 4 and 2 plus 2 is 5, they're both right, that's absolutely false according to the Bible. Only the truth will set us free from sin. False doctrine, false religious teaching will not set us free from sin. It'll cause us to be lost. That's why we emphasize on this program, what is the truth? We look at various issues and point out what the Bible has to say on those issues, not just what does man think or what does man think is best or what will bring in the most people, but actually what does God say is the answer to those issues, and we must comply with God's answers or we cannot be saved. 3 weeks ago, we started a discussion of divorce and remarriage. Had enough calls that we didn't get very far in our outline, so I'm going to continue with that outline tonight. We talked a little bit about gay marriage and adulterous marriages according to Matthew 19 verse 9. How that if you divorce for any reason other than fornication and remarry, it's adultery. One thing that we didn't have a chance to point out is that even divorce itself is a sin. Even if you never remarry, divorce all by itself is a sin. In Matthew 19 verse 6, Jesus says, "Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh." Talking about the marriage relationship. "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Other versions will say, "Let not man separate." And so, when a young man and young woman marry, they make those vows till death do us part. God expects them to fulfill those vows. He expects them to stay together until death on the part of one of the parties. In Matthew 5:32, well, it'll begin in verse 31, Jesus says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife," it hath been said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Now, this verse is almost exactly like Matthew 19:9, but not quite. Matthew 19:9 says, if you divorce for a reason other than fornication and remarry, you commit adultery. This verse says, if the man divorces his wife for any reason other than fornication, it doesn't talk about his remarriage. It just says he causes her to commit adultery. And that's a sin, to cause someone to sin. So, this verse is forbidding the man from divorcing his wife for any reason other than fornication, even if he never remarries. That's a sin. Divorce all by itself is a sin. Divorce is wrong. Divorce is a sin, and then if you remarry after that unscriptural divorce, that's adultery. That's a second sin. Even marital separation is a sin. Some people don't know this. Some people will say, "Well, we can get a divorce as long as we don't remarry," but passages like we just read, Matthew 5:32, show that's wrong. And then others will say, "Well, it's wrong to divorce, but we can separate." But 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 would show that's wrong. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, Paul says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Let not the wife depart from her husband. If she just departs from him, even if she never divorces him, if she just departs, the newer translations say, I think, separates from him, she commits sin. Earlier in the chapter, in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Those three verses are talking about the sexual responsibilities husbands and wives have to one another. if one of them departs from the other, separates, even if they never divorce and remarry, they're still violating that passage because they're not fulfilling their responsibilities, their sexual responsibilities toward each other. It shows that divorce, it shows that even marital separation is a sin. A lot of churches just completely ignore these passages, and people are divorcing and remarrying left and right and still are considered faithful members of that congregation. They have compromised the truth. One other passage on this separation idea, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." Now, admittedly, the emphasis here is dwelling with them according to knowledge. Underline according to knowledge. The husband is commanded to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. But it's impossible to dwell with your wife according to knowledge if you're not dwelling with her. And so just like 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 specifically forbids the woman from departing from her husband, this verse, 1 Peter 3, 7, forbids the husband from leaving his wife because then he would be violating this command, the command to dwell with her according to knowledge. He must dwell with her. Many say, even people who claim to be preachers of the gospel, it's okay to leave your spouse. And if you do leave them, you can remarry, but the Bible says no such thing. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. As we pointed out 3 weeks ago, divorce except for fornication is sinful. There are a lot of sins that a husband may commit that are definitely wrong, of course, but the wife cannot divorce him for those sins unless it's the sin of fornication. 3 weeks ago we read Matthew 19:9 probably two or three times. Let's read it again to make that point. Matthew 19:9, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife," the newer translations there say divorce, "whosoever shall divorce his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." The force of the exception clause here, when it says whoever puts away his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery, the force of the exception clause would be that if the man divorces his wife for any other reason, any reason other than fornication, he commits adultery if he remarries. The divorce is a sin, Matthew 19:6, Matthew 5:32, and the remarriage after such divorce is adultery. That's what the passage says. That's what Jesus says. Any other cause, the subsequent remarriage is adultery. I didn't write that. I know hardly any churches teach that anymore, but they did many years ago, but they've compromised the truth. Second marriages, then, are called adulterous by Jesus in Matthew 19:9. How could a marriage be adulterous? Jesus said it was. If you divorce your wife except for fornication and marry another, you commit adultery. That shows that second or third marriage that is contracted is an adulterous marriage. If it's an adulterous marriage, it's going to have to be terminated. You can't stay in a marriage if the marriage is adulterous any more than you could stay in a marriage, a gay marriage, if the marriage is homosexual. Sin must be repented of to be faithful to God, to be right with God. And repentance means making up your mind you're going to stop the practice. So if you're in a second marriage that's adulterous, you have to make up your mind you're going to stop that adultery. You're going to have to get out of the marriage. Just like we would teach that if two men were married together, then they would have to repent, make up their mind to quit committing the sin of homosexuality and get out of that marriage. It's the same principle. For the same reason that two men have to get out of a homosexual, a gay marriage, to stop the sin, to be right with God, to be faithful to God, for that same reason, a man and a woman who are married in their second or third marriage, an adulterous marriage, they would have to stop that sin of adultery. They would have to terminate their marriage, that marriage. 877-655-6755. If you'd like to ask a question about this Bible topic or any other Bible topic, let me confirm this by reading Romans 7, 2 and 3. There the Bible says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Here we have the scenario put before us by God. Paul, inspired of God, says that if a woman's husband is still living, and she goes out and marries another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Now, the text doesn't give us any specifics about that, so it would be true. Suppose that she just goes out and gets a second husband while she's still married to the first husband. She would become a polygamist. She would be committing adultery with that second husband. So suppose she divorces her first husband for any reason other than adultery and goes out and marries a second husband. According to this text, since her husband, her first husband, is still alive, she's committing adultery with the second husband. And if she's committing adultery with the second husband, she's going to have to get out of that marriage. She's going to have to terminate that adultery in order to be right with God. I have a quote here from a person who's, as far as I know, he was not even a Christian. He's not somebody who necessarily agrees with me on this topic, but he made a frank confession here. Anthony Dunavant wrote in the Orange County, California Register, he said, "Some conservative groups believe that divorced people who marry another spouse are living in sin. However, the number of divorces in the United States has led most denominations away from that teaching." Now notice, basically saying that most denominations used to teach the truth on this, that if you divorce for an unscriptural reason and marry another, you're living in sin, in adultery. But these denominations quit teaching this because there were so many divorces. Just because the number of divorces increased didn't mean it's okay to quit teaching and standing for the truth, but that's what's happened. Steve from Spokane, Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
It was more of a question. I actually just heard you on the radio just a moment ago, and I've been speaking to people about the permanence of marriage for a while. My wife and I actually went through, I'll say, a legal divorce back in 2010, and I say legal because God never separates a one-flesh covenant. But by God's grace, we were actually restored back in 2014 now, and our whole family's been restored and just standing on God's word and for restoration. And it's been amazing, the miracles that He's done in our lives, and also the testimony that has given other folks who've gone through really, really difficult times. And I just want to, you know, encourage anybody out there that questions it to read God's word to find His truth and that realizes that, you know, one man, one woman for life it's not just the ideal. It is what God has for everybody.
That's exactly what God expects and demands. It sounds like you're trying to put into practice what we read in Romans 7, 2, and 3, that you're bound to your spouse as long as they live.
Yep, exactly. And I thank you for speaking about this, because you're right. It's not spoken in the churches when it used to be. That was the standard. There wasn't an exception. But, you know, the hearts for people, my neighbor, she got a divorce and her husband was a jerk. You know, surely she can marry again and be in the church. And our hearts go out to people in those heartbreaking situations. But God's word never changes. And
thank you for your call, Steve. Angel from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, good evening. My question is, of course, I heard you speaking that if you get divorced from your spouse other than for the reason of fornication and you remarry and find yourself, I guess, in what you would call an adulterous marriage, it says that you said, of course, that you have to terminate the second marriage, I guess, in order to become right. But then you'd be getting divorced two times. So, I mean, how does that work?
That, you know, when Matthew 19:9 forbids divorce, it's forbidding divorce for people who are scripturally married, not unscripturally married. For example, let's suppose two men, Angel, are married together, a gay marriage. The Bible forbids divorce, but would that mean that the two men have to stay married because divorce is wrong?
No, that part I get on
okay.
The homosexual okay. subject.
So it's the same with an adulterous marriage. Matthew 19:9, when it says don't get a divorce, it's talking about scriptural marriages. But it implies that if you get an unscriptural marriage, if you divorce your spouse for a reason other than fornication, remarry, that's adultery. That's an unscriptural marriage. It's implying that you have to get out of that in order because you can't continue to commit adultery. Every time you sleep with that second or third wife, as the case may be, that's adultery. You can't continue that sin and expect to be right with God. Any follow-up, Angel?
So you're saying if I remarry for any reason other than fornication, I guess if I divorce for any other reason other than fornication and I remarry, that would be an unscriptural marriage? I'm trying to understand the scriptural and unscriptural.
Yeah. Let me read you Jesus' words again. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except for be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Mm-hmm. That's right. So it would be an adulterous marriage, an unscriptural marriage. And you can't stay in an adulterous marriage any more than you could stay in a gay marriage.
Right.
Angel, let me give you a passage to consider. I'm going to read for you Mark chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. And admittedly, this is before the New Testament law went into effect, but I think it illustrates well what I'm talking about. Angel, you still with me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this passage in Mark 6, 17 and 18. And we also find this in Matthew chapter. Well, I can't remember what chapter offhand, but it's Mark 6. It says, I think it's Matthew 14, but it says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Now what had happened here is that Herodias had divorced Philip, her husband, and married Philip's brother Herod. And then John the Baptist comes along and he said, it's not lawful, he says to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Now answer this question, Angel. Was John the Baptist, who was speaking for God, was he expecting if Herod to get out of the marriage with Herodias or to stay in the marriage with Herodias?
Well, I mean, just by saying that it wasn't lawful, I mean, it means that he should get out of the marriage.
Yeah, if it's not lawful. So in the New Testament, we have a passage like Matthew 19:9. We see that this second marriage is unlawful. Jesus calls it adultery. It's unlawful. And if it's unlawful, you're going to have to get out of it. You got any follow-up, Angel, before I cut you off?
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess then it wouldn't be counted to you as a second divorce, which would be, I guess, double the sin?
No. It's the same thing as if two men were married. When they get the divorce, they're doing what's right. It's not... Divorce, like, if you're married to another man, divorce is not wrong. It's the right thing to do to get out of that gay marriage because it's unscriptural marriage. You follow me, Angel?
Right. So this would be the same towards a heterosexual marriage. In other words, you're making it right.
Adulterous marriage, homosexual marriage, they would be in the same category. Anne from West Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I just had a question regarding a wife shouldn't separate from her husband for any reason other than fornication, but what if it's an abusive relationship?
Well, what did Jesus say in Matthew 19:9? I'm not expecting you to have that passage memorized, but I'm going to go to it.
Say no, yeah.
Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Now, that's giving us the one and only cause for scriptural divorce.
I didn't say divorce. You said separate even earlier.
Yes, okay. Separate. So you're not talking about divorce then? You're just talking about separation?
Yes.
Well, there's never a cause given for separation except for fornication. And one other passage, we were looking at 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5 a while ago, and we were talking about the husbands and wives' sexual responsibilities toward each other. Were you on the air listening when
yes.
I read verses 3 through 5?
Yes.
And it said the only reason they can suspend these relations is for fasting and for prayer. And it says it's to be with consent for a time, meaning temporary. Let me just read the verse. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 7. Defraud ye not one the other, and that's talking about the sexual responsibilities, except
right.
it be with consent, that's both parties agree, for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or lack of self-control. So the only exception is if the parties agree to do it for fasting and prayer. That's the only reason they can suspend sexual relations. A marital separation, what we call marital separation, where they separate permanently, the only cause is for fornication. Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19, verse 9.
Wow.
This is what, I tell you what I want you to do. You don't accept my word for anything. You go back and read your own Bible, and if you'll send me an...
I understand that, but... So
if
I guess you're saying a woman's supposed to stay with her husband when he's throwing her around and hitting her and...
The woman should call the police. This is what they used to do in the old days. They didn't get a divorce. They called the police and got the police to take care of them. And here's why. Because when the man and woman in the old days said, I do, it was meant to be till death do us part. So people didn't get divorces.
Yes.
So they call the police if your husband is doing that. But that's not a scriptural cause for divorce. The only scriptural cause, Jesus says, except for fornication. That rules out all the other causes. Michael from New Mexico, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. In regards to what you're preaching today, in regards to divorce and remarriage, I understand salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. In regards to being saved for salvation is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Evidence of speaking in a new tongue, Acts 2:38, where the Jews were spoken to after they realized they crucified the Messiah. So from that point on, understanding the new covenant versus the law versus the Old Testament, New Testament, they still apply to one doesn't put out the other, but no understanding about walking in the Spirit. So now when one comes to the knowledge of Christ and enters the new covenant as a Gentile, non-Jew, and he comes into a relationship and gets married, and he was married prior to that in a sinful nature, non-born-again, non-Christian, and becomes a born-again Christian and has remarried. So you're going to say that gentleman is going to have to divorce because of Matthew scripture that states what the Lord said about divorce and it being considered adultery when he has been washed clean of his sin, coming to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. And
Michael, we got to go off the air. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your call, Michael. We got 30 seconds.
Okay.
When a person becomes a Christian, they have to repent in order to become a Christian. Acts 2:38, a verse I think Michael quoted, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so when a person becomes a Christian, they have to repent, which means they have to get out of adulterous or homosexual marriages. We appreciate you listening. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.